Okay, this is session 25, side one, and it's January 1st, 2007, and we're on page 61 of my book in the Thompson section, and at the bottom of page 61, on to page 63, the quotes being on the right side of the book, we are taking an excerpt from an article written in 1986 to 87. It's actually the Whole Earth Review magazine. Issue number 53, Winter Quadrant, and it's 1986/87, and the article is called A Gaian Politics, G-A-I-A-N, A Gaian Politics. So this is Thompson in 86.
Mm-hmm. If one takes all of the five future transforms together, they form a pattern, a slight Aikido move that is necessary to transform the militarism of Reagan into a new populist liberalism for a transformed Democratic Party in the 90s. If the Democratic Party remains the party of the industrial past, of labor unions and ethnic blocs, it will, like Mondale, become a fossil. And if the Democratic Party tries to become identical to Reagan's party and to woo the same constituency, it will only prove itself to be shallow, thoughtless, opportunistic, and completely lacking in credibility as well as power. If, on the other hand, a new American ecological party were to try to make it on its own, such a movement on the left would generate its mere opposite on the far right, and Lyndon LaRouche's thermonuclear fusionists would probably match the Greens vote for vote, with each party taking about 15% of the electorate. It would be far better for the Democratic Party to take the best of the Ecological Party and the best of American big science to move the new ethnic majority in defeat of the white, suburban, affluent constituency that supports Reagan. Paradoxically, it is this new Latin and Asian America that is more truly expressive of the California culture that first put Reagan into power. I doubt if the Democratic Party will adopt Gaian politics in 1988. Most likely it will try to copy the Republicans with someone like Iacocca, and our politics will be the typical American cultural situation of Avis and Hertz, Pepsi and Coca-Cola, McDonald's and Burger King. But history is full of surprises like Chernobyl, so I would imagine that by 1992, this awful generation of the 50s...
This awful generation of the 50s.
Yeah. These hideous reruns of the anti-intellectual McCarthy era will have spent themselves. Just as the 60s introduced a quantum leap in consciousness for the whole human race, so will the 90s take us one more step.
Take us up one more step.
It won't take a national charismatic leader to affect a cultural shift. That's why I said affect a cultural shift.
It won't take a national charismatic leader to affect such a cultural shift.
Such a cultural shift. For by the 90s, the generation of the 60s will be spread throughout the establishment as corporate presidents, as politicians, as popular musicians and video artists, as university leaders. As they look around and see themselves in position, they will remember, and those camp followers who now celebrate their neoconservative orthodoxy will change spots and drag out their old 60s credentials and begin to boast about how many demonstrations, love-ins, and rock festivals they took part in. Once again, it will be fashionable to be idealistic and patriotic, not simply for Springsteen's USA, but for the entire planet. Such is the fantasy of one who came of age in the 60s, and such is my fantasy of a new Gaian form of politics for the 90s.
So, did that happen?
No.
You could say that Gore represented that a bit. And I remember in 92 when Thompson... I came to New York in 93 and attended his lectures in the fall of 93, and I got transcripts of the fall of 92 lectures because it was an ongoing seminar I was giving. So I got the first year, started in 92, so I want to see what happened in the first year, and then I caught up in 93. I remember him talking this was October, November 92, he was talking about Gore winning with Clinton in November 92, and he says, one of our people got in, referring to Gore. I think Gore had even been spoke at the cathedral, spoken at the Cathedral St. John the Divine, which was the home, semi-home of Lindisfarne, mm-hmm. that Bill Thompson represented. So this vision that he's hoping for 88, and he says in the second paragraph, he didn't think it would happen. He thought that the Democrats would not follow his advice and try to be more Republican. And I guess they did. I can't remember what Gore said in 88 when he ran. Was he the green guy then? Maybe he was, but he didn't win. The caucus was the representative.
Gore ran in 88?
Yeah, he ran as the Democratic primaries, and he got beat out by Dukakis.
Oh, okay.
And Dukakis went up against George Bush Sr. Oh. But Gore is now in as vice president 4 years later. And I remember when at Clinton's inauguration, they had Bob Dylan, all these people, they put on a big rock festival. I remember Rush Limbaugh laughing, saying, look at these guys, they think the 60s is back. And as Rush was saying this, and he repeated it, I thought, well, it's Bill Thompson's vision to the degree it was real, I don't know, but there was a sense of some guy from the 60s that had taken over the White House,
yeah.
Bill Clinton, right?
Yeah, and Clinton was kind of a throwback to the Kennedy image.
Yeah, yeah, and he wasn't a hippie like, ostensibly hippie like Thompson, and Thompson was an intellectual hippie. But the thing is that his hope for that image happened in 92, but I remember you telling me in 98, I cannot believe this, Bob, what they're talking about. They're talking about this guy's penis on the news. Remember that?
Yeah.
In 98. And that was the result. That was the limitation of Thompson's view of how the Android meme was going to take anybody, no matter where they came from, and rip them to shreds. I mean, Clinton was a disaster by 94, and then the neocons got in, right, with Gingrich. So it's interesting how Thompson is projecting a view that if we got it into the fulcrum of the White House, we could do something. And it's like a policy wonk, or what are they? Yeah, that's what they're called, policy wonk's view, or a bureaucrat's view that we could still manage the collective hologram. But what was going to happen in the 90s was total fractionalization and fragmentation due to the dot-com reality, and everybody be long gone in their internet world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're taken into outer and inner space. So so Thompson's vision sounds good in 86, 87, but it's going to be quite pallid and anemic and humorous by 95, 96.
Well, you have Thompson in the computer quadrant.
Yeah.
But from what you're saying, it sounds like he didn't really understand at this point in time the effect of the chip.
Right. Now, you have to look at what is the computer quadrant? If you look at my charts, it's 1918 to 1945 when the hidden effects of the computer world are being worked on by the minds of humans. And they're beginning to imagine it and invent it, you know. And you have IBM showing up the late 30s. You have Turing in British intelligence in World War II. And you have other technology. And it's all going to come together so that there's some kind of computer technology in big corporations, big mainframe computers, in the late 40s and early 50s, in the Pentagon and in big corporations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was made possible by the thinking and developments from 1918 to 1945. But my chart is a chart of the 90s and of the afterimage of the Android meme. So you're having a holopathic replay of the 1918 to 1945 quadrant, or era. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because in the 90s, the Android meme is not a computer, it's not television, it's not any of the divisions on the chart. It's a mixture, it's a quantum fluid mixture of something, but having no substance, like a quark, and that is the communication form, which is the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I call that the Android meme. So
the Android, on your chart, the Android meme would be the two quadrants representing the TV and the chip money.
No, the whole chart, the second chart, tiny note, is a picture of the Android meme.
Including the chemical in Astrobody.
Yeah, the Android meme is quadraphenically interfuses the four bodies. And so the chart is all interfused, and the other chart, which goes from 1750-2020, is a bigger context.
The Android meme is like the solid-state entity taking over the carbon-based reality.
Yeah, and the carbon base would be chemical body, and silicon base would be the chip body. So, anyways, Thompson represents, he starts, if you look at the particular dates, he's 67 to 72. That's where he begins, and he becomes Thompson the eco-thinker because of the Meadows, Club of Rome's computerized inventory that created a report called Limits to Growth, which, you know, LaRouche hated that document, The Limits of Growth, which he said the Club of Rome propagated.
Club of Rome being tied to the Vatican?
The Club of Rome, no. Well, there were some Italians in it, but it was a global Big Brother think tank.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was like the Trilateral Commission, but the European version.
Oh.
And, but the Club of Rome put out a report that said, we got to go Malthusian. We got to cut back on population. We're going to have ecological damages. We're going to have run out of resources. And all this panic situation. McLuhan used to call the Club of Rome, and they courted him and tried to get him to be a member, but he said, no, I'm not going to join the Club of Ruin. Because he saw these guys were rearview mirror guys. But Thompson begins his thinking, a good chunk of it, based on Mr. and Mrs. Meadows. Donna Meadows and her husband, I think, were the ones who wrote the report called Limits to Growth. He followed that eco-vision and acted on it in the 70s and wrote on it. We had some of the earlier quotes dealing with that, but he did not. He kind of had to shift, and we're seeing it now in these quotes in the 80s, away from that. But he still has that general ecological vision, which came out. It came into public popularity in 67-72 period, beginning with the Earth Day of April 22nd, was the first Earth Day. So Thompson is part of that 70s meme. Now, my chart is showing the replay of those phases of technological development and those TV, radio, computer, and satellite developments, but it's all crystallized around one kind of thinking. So Thompson represents the replay of the computer meme, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's, the computer world is only a meme by the 90s. The computer history of the mainframes and then the transistors, various developments. And then you have network computing, networking computers in the late 80s, early 90s, which becomes the Internet. So when you say Thompson is in the computer quadrant, his thinking in the 90s and in my book represents the meme that was a hidden ground from 1918 to 1945 and became kind of dominant from 67 to 72.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the effects preceding causes way of thinking. The computer meme stretches out through the 70s and 80s, and you have eventually a guy running for White House, Al Gore, on this computer effect, this eco-effect, eco-ecology concern, right, which came out of the Limits to Growth report. You following what I'm saying?
Right.
The guy in green thinking. I mean, the Greens started invading German politics in the early 80s.
When I think about the effect of the computer, it seems to me that, especially in, I guess, the 50s and 60s, when IBM was, beginning to, these were beginning to infiltrate the business world, probably the main effect of the computer was to digitize money. To digitize credit, the credit card, the number on the credit card, which becomes a number inside a computer. Now, it didn't have that effect in 1918 to 1945.
No. Yeah, you're describing. Remember, the Android. My chart is 60 to 90. 1960, 1990.
Mm-hmm.
With the early invisible parts of the Android meme in the 60s, and then it starts surfacing in the later 70s. All of that, 60 to 90, is the digital phase. And the digital is the thing that's going to converge radio, TV, computer, and satellite. So the computer
world... before it did that...
Beg your pardon?
Before it converged radio, TV, satellite, and so on, the biggest effect, and probably the most important effect, was the fact that it digitized money. It allowed for the extension of... well, credit had been around since, I guess, the big deal in 1935... but
the New Deal, not the Big Deal.
The New Deal, right?
The Big Deal.
But the fact that accounting could now be and of money could now be done digitally. This the
yeah, that led to Nixon disconnecting the dollar from gold.
Yeah,
made it a floating currency. August 71. That was a big mutation.
It sped up financial transactions.
Now note the date, 71. That's between my 67 and 72 period. That is a peak sign, following what you're thinking, of the computer effect.
Right.
And where did the computer come from? It came from thinking of 1845. It becomes an environment in the 60s and 70s after TV. Right. TV is the 50s and 60s. Get into the 60s and 70s. I think Rockefeller's Chase Manhattan started to go digital in their banking in 1966. So you have to get into the 60s when it's starting to be used as a technology in general in business life. So definitely it peaks from 67 to 72. It continues as an environment, but sneaking up on that computer effect, which is before the satellite effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
The satellite is having all kinds of effects in the 60s and 70s, but it doesn't really surface... for the average user until you have satellite TV.
Well, the satellite, if the primary impact of the computer in the world is the fact that it speeds up financial transactions.
Which is visual space.
The satellite...
Got that? Visual space gets evaporated.
Yeah, okay. The satellite just extends the computer's ability to speed up financial transactions globally.
No, the satellite is hooking up global TV networks. It was in 1968 when they had the first satellite video transmission out of Vietnam. It might have been those images of the Vietnam general shooting the Viet Cong in the head. That had a big effect on the Americans' TV reality. Vietnam is a TV living room war. Started to turn people against the war, like these violent images. These were transmitted by satellite,
right,
which was just starting to become an effective environment for the public. They've been used by intelligence agencies earlier, but we're talking about when it becomes an environment for the publics around the world. And that is the beginning and climax of the global theater. Now, you have all that stuff happening while the previous environment of the computer is digitizing money. So it's not just one environment going on.
Yeah, and but see... like, for instance, if we start thinking more from the LaRouche perspective, LaRouche is into machine tools as being the fundamental thing that's going to allow us to engineer, you know, a world that, like Bucky Fuller would say, works for everybody.
Right, and he's wondering, where the heck is the machine tool production?
Yeah, well, the computer allows us to develop...
Well, to make money without making industry. That's the post-industrial economy.
Mm.
When you're talking about the computerizing of digitizing money, that is the post-hardware software forms of making money. And since humans will make money, and that's the main agenda from their point of view, or the average citizen, is to survive and make money, then hardware industry that LaRouche wants falls by the wayside as a way of making money.
Mm.
And then it becomes a ghetto, and then,
it becomes retrieved as digital technology allows us to digitize and automate machine tools.
You said it becomes retrieved.
Well, I don't know if retrieved is the right word, but digital technology then allows us to automate the lathe, which used to have to be operated by, you know, a dozen machine operators. Now you have one lathe controlled by a computer that does the work of 10 men.
Yeah, and so some people would think that LaRouche is missing the point, but he would say, I'm not missing the point. You're digitizing a certain stage of technological development, like the automobile plant, and not making better technologies than the car, and then using machine tools to make those better improvements. He's like saying he's objecting to the digitization of the frozen hologram of 60s and 70s auto production. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be the argument. LaRouche is, here is, there is progress from the main corporate, Iacocca and those guys. They're saying, we're making progress. We're digitizing the machine tools. But LaRouche says, no, there's something wrong here because people are not able to make as much money. They got to have all the family working. You know, he sees there's a disservice, or he's looking on one particular disservice.
Yeah.
And then he's saying, no, you're not increasing new machine tools. You're just digitizing a stalled level of growth.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an argument between LaRouche and Iacocca. We'll be doing that in the Croker quadrant, in the LaRouche quadrant when we get back to him. But back to what we're talking about, Thompson, is to understand that the satellite has as its content the radio world, the TV world, the computer world, and the mixture of those. That's the global theater.
Yeah, and in a way, what we're doing is we're taking, maybe you think this is this sounds makes sense to you. We're beginning to take the astral world and virtualize it, bring it into perception down here on the physical plane through the instruments of the TV and radio and the computerization of these things.
Right, because the astral plane apparently. Every soul is equidistant from everybody else and equidistant from the center, whatever that center is on the astral plane.
Yeah.
Okay?
See, that's a bit of an interesting thing to iron out here is why Thompson represents both the retrieval of visual space in the computer quadrant and the astral plane, because they seem they don't seem like any one person would be, that they don't seem like they should be in the same quadrant.
Right, no, okay. I'll explain that, but I just want to finish so that the astral plane, every soul is equidistant from everybody else and from the mystical center or whatever that center is of the astral plane. Technologically, once we got into TV, then computers and satellites and the global theater created by the 70s a world situation where everybody was equidistant to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That was if you think the computers are doing it in the 90s, or the Android meme is doing it in the 90s, it began already in the simultaneity of the TV environment, then the enhancement of that by computers and satellites. So by the 70s, everybody's equidistant. All right? Technologically, that's how we've manifested that part of the astral plane.
Mm-hmm.
And also with the ability to retrieve information and imagery and music and with tape machines, audio cassettes, and video recorders, you are actually bringing back a secular version of the Akashic Records, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, definitely.
You also have this is part of the universal the universal government.
Yes.
So now we're getting actual,
which is a term from my chart for those who are listening.
Yeah. So then this is creating actual bleed throughs into the other the non-physical dimensions.
Right, and then that's when you start getting the metaphors of UFOs showing up in the 70s. Later abductees.
Well, the UFOs started showing up in the late 40s big time in the media.
Oh, yeah, they come and go. But what really, you can go through the evolution of the UFO imagery, and there were new versions of abductions and interest, and the Billy Myers thing shows up in the 70s. There was all kinds of permutations on the UFO meme and expanded way beyond the number of people who knew about it in the 40s and 50s, mainly because there were more people and also because there was more information, so there's more ways of replaying that stuff. So yeah, maybe in the 70s when the UFO experience started to become a meme in entertainment or in people's interest of the fringe topics, there were groups that showed up that showed photos from the 40s and 50s and the early 60s. They didn't have archives of old UFO photos, but then there was new developments of that. But I'm saying the phenomenon of people experiencing themselves as abductees was not happening in the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There were one or two, maybe like George Adamski or somebody, but not hundreds of people. That happens by the 80s. So you have that beginning, and that happens around the computer zone, 1918 to 1945, Roswell's 47. But it's there, and it gets enhanced as part of the Android meme in the 80s as a reflection of the features of the computer, holopathic computer retrieval.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's also drug taking, expanded use of drugs, and the big image of the satellite effect is the disco in late 70s, where people are dancing around the new hologram of the planet Earth, or hologram of the global theater, the sparkling dome in the center of the dance floor, everybody's dancing around, totally expresses the new autonomy of
yeah, the 70s. Yeah, I don't quite, that imagery doesn't hook up for me, that the sparkling ball somehow represents
Let me explain it.
The miniaturization of the globe.
Yeah, let me explain it. Let me just respond to that part before you go into another objection. The ball is made up of mirrors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those mirrors are equidistant to everybody. Everybody is in an equidistant position on that. Everybody is a mirror, a media mirror, reflecting back to everybody else, even though it's a round ball and it's reflecting out. But think of it as an attempt to visualize the resonance of the acoustic space.
Uh-huh.
And tactility, you have, I mean, Robert Anton Wilson went on citing that, a similar image from Hindu Sanskrit texts of the diamonds of every soul reflecting back at each other. There's an attempt to make that in the disco ball, and so everybody's a mirror, and so that's an equidistant expression. So I think that your idea of the astral plane being miniaturized in the, or externalized in the 70s is met by the disco ball.
Mm-hmm.
So what were you going to say to...
Well, the way that the idea of the disco ball representing the satellite, the one level that makes sense to
me... The satellite effect,
is the fact that it's radiating out these fragmented light, the bits of light, you know, which are and it's rotating, and the light is these fragmented bits of light are all reflecting off the walls, the ceiling. So if you're in that space, you're within the effect of the sphere. You're within the sphere of the effect of the ball, because you're in the middle of all this. You're in the spherical space is the entire room, and the lights hitting the walls all around you. And so you're inside this, you're inside the effect of the light.
Right, and just think of TV, cable TV, and all the stuff that's developed in the 70s. The information environment is expanding with FM radio. The multimedia that begins in the 70s, if you were going to visualize it, because just think of people getting on cable TV, public access, whatever, new media, satellite dishes, they're able to project themselves. Shine their light on people through whatever performance they do in the media.
Mm-hmm.
So a visualization of that is the mirror, everybody being a mirror and bouncing their light at other people.
Mm-hmm.
So the bouncing and ricocheting of the light beams in the disco dance hall is a perfect expression of information environment that's going on.
Yeah. So you have satellites in the sky, and they're radiating... their beams, which are encompassing the Earth, and we're all inside the effect of this radiation, which is encompassing the globe.
Yeah.
So
that's the apex of the global theater in the 70s. The digitization of the Android meme is sneaking up, so then that disappears. The globe disappears as we move into a weird situation where technology comes alive and it starts acting out these phases. Well, the anthropomorphic chemical body is sitting on the sidelines.
Well, as far as the digitalization is concerned, I'm not sure exactly why that causes the satellite to shrink and disappear, because the satellite is part of... The satellite has computers on board. Those computers are receiving digital information being beamed to them from terrestrial computers. They're taking that digital information and beaming it down to other segments of computer networks on other sides of the planet. They're taking that digital information from computer networks on one side of the planet, redistributing it to computer networks on the other side of the planet. Where's the
homeopathization of this process, or what I call holeopathic, the shrinking of the hologram, because the disco is a hologram. It looks like it's bouncing off a ball. That's the image we have of Earth, but we know that that's a a first nature image of the Earth. The actual Earth that we're living in is the TV body, right, which can't be visualized.
Right.
But here is what's sneaking up on the satellite environment, fiber optics. The other area of the planet that's being, the other deep space, is the oceans. Fiber optics cables being laid all over the place.
Yeah.
Right? And the fiber optics speeds up the satellite thing till eventually you get to computers where each person is in the satellite position and has access to all these media.
Oh, yeah.
In the 90s. That's what I mean, the shrinking of the centralized...
I'm not sure if fiber optics are transmit data any faster than transmitting it directly through the medium of the atmosphere through radio waves.
Well, fiber optics is a new medium.
Yeah.
It's been building, the last 15 years?
Yeah.
And it is better than whatever the cable was in the 70s and 80s, or they wouldn't be
right.
putting it in.
But I don't know that it's better than actually beaming the medium of the atmosphere, using that as a way as a medium of transmission for radio waves, which go, say, from a computer to a satellite and then back down to a computer. Information can't travel faster than the speed of light. And whether you're beaming radio waves at a satellite or moving information through a fiber optic cable, I don't know that you can move it any faster.
Well, it's not faster, it's density.
Yeah.
You can create bandwidth.
Yeah.
You can put more, send more programs down the tube.
Right.
To have a crude metaphor.
Higher bandwidth.
Yeah, so the point is that higher bandwidth fragments the idea of one global theater, with the satellite environment being the central focus. We fragment and break that into the first image was the fractal, and then you get the anamorphic, which is the distorted fractal. So the 90s is the distorted anamorphic, and that is a circus mirror kind of thing, where anamorphosis was our technique, 1600s, where like semi-surrealism, they would alter the visual perspective and not follow the literal perspective laws, start to juxtapose imagery and create optic illusions, trompe-l'oeil, eyeball tricks. Think of M.C. Escher kind of paintings.
Mm-hmm.
That is what happens to the visual space, to the eyeball in the disco. It kills the eyeball, and you move into this realm of Terence McKenna's elves. You know what I mean? Each one of us becomes an elf speaking to millions of other elves.
I don't know how you're making that jump. That's sort of like moving into some weird astral plane dimension where...
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm making an anamorphic jump to show you the mutation that shrinks the satellite environment of the 70s.
Mm.
And a higher bandwidth. I mean, the culmination of all this is, who is the person of the year of 2006, according to Time Magazine?
You and me.
That's right. And what made that possible? YouTube. YouTube is incredible in terms of what you can experience in multiplicity, and it's video, which you couldn't get like that 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, it just means that you and I are capable of broadcasting becoming our own programmers and broadcasting,
making our own content.
Yeah.
Now the disco world is hyper participatory, just like all electrified forms of music are, from the cakewalk or ragtime to jive to rock and roll to punk to disco. All of that is the audience dancing up its own energies, taking over the public space. So entertainment in the 20th century under electric conditions is always tribal and participatory, and the audience gets in the act, as McClune used to say, takes over the stage. But now you're taking over the digital space with the dot-com revolution. And now what they call Web 2.0, it's like the dot-com world squared, right? They call this user-generated content world of the naughty knots as the new kind of web. So we're dancing up a storm with all media. We're dancing not just with music in our feet. We're dancing with what we edit and project out and broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So what was imaged in the satellite disco, reflecting the light, now think of the disco ball as sending out video images,
mm-hmm.
not rays of light. more tactile, more involved. So what's this got to do with Thompson?
We're
trying to get back into showing the complexity of the multimedia memes, and Thompson represents the computer meme in the 70s, which gets subsumed by all four memes interplaying in the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And then YouTube means you don't need Thompson, McLuhan, Croker, LaRouche, or Dobbs. You can edit up, make your own broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can send whatever you select from YouTube and send it to other people in email form. So it's hyper-ecstasy of communication. But you get the beginning of that in the disco phase. And remember, punk rock is going on the same time as a complementary expression of dirt, as opposed to the clean disco, the shiny disco, and then the dirty street, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that works as part of the hologram. The thing is, we're talking about this, or I'm talking about this, I'm explaining how the word computer refers to a particular environment in the 40s, 50s, 60s. And today people will say that YouTube is a computer product. They use the term computer to refer to the post-TV era, the post-mass media era. But computer really refers to digitization, and digitization involves the...
I'm not sure it's really... It bugs me to call it, you know, post-TV. TVs haven't gone away. We're not post-TVs. We've just added a new ingredient to the mix.
Post means that it's no longer the constituent. Why are TV stations, newspapers, and the older media panic? Because the advertising dollars are going onto the Internet. So therefore, the Internet is the constitutive medium, the new medium. TV is still here.
TV's using the Internet to enhance itself by saying, go to our website for more information. You go to the website, the website directs you back to the TV.
And then the TV sends you back to the website to find out stuff that they couldn't fit into the half-hour program. The point is, there's the convergence, where there is no TV, computer, magazine, book, radio, satellite division. That's the nature of the Android meme. But we have to use, I was citing, they don't say that YouTube is Android meme. They say this is the revolution caused by the computer. So I use the word computer to refer to a particular technology that was thought up from 1918 to 1945, became an environment in the 60s and 70s, but then was digitized, and digitization is the mixture and convergence of computer video.
Wait a minute. You're making an error in the saying what then was digitized. Computers were always digitized.
Well, they were analog first.
No.
Mainframe, okay?
No. They might have had vacuum tubes, but
yes,
they
I'm
still...
That
information
is
was still processed in ones and zeros.
That's right, but it was the technology was the cathode tube. Okay, and I'm calling that the analog, and this is what scientists or critics...
So it went from tube to solid state. It didn't go from analog to digital. Computers were always working with digital information.
Yeah, the O's and 1's, but we have to use the language that is in there in the general public, because we're not talking C++ manual talk here. You know, we're talking the obsolete English language and its use of words to to create information in blocks.
We went from LP to cassette tape. Those were analog to CDs. That's when people started, the word digital became part of the culture, was when the CD became popular.
So what I'm saying is not the technical language of the specialist. I'm saying there's analog media, which refers to the whole stretch of time. Then we move into digital. And I'm saying that there was analog media, including computers, which is the mainframe and, I guess, the transistor, where it becomes the digital, where the tubes are not used anymore. That's what I'm calling digital. Okay?
Yeah.
That's not an accurate, if you're talking to a specialist, that's not an accurate way to do it. When we're talking to the public, we keep these general broad outlines, or what McLuhan called cartoon boundaries, cartoon broad strokes.
Right.
All right? I mean, hot and cool. Well, that's not something you can use when you actually talk about the technology in a media. But when you're having a public discourse through English, you use hot and cool, or you did. And it was attempted in the 60s. Didn't get anywhere, but it became something that still lingers and is attached to McLuhan, mm-hmm. even though he realized in the later 60s that it was, didn't work. He didn't like those terms, but he's forever tagged with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm allowing myself to be tagged with these definitions of analog versus digital. Analog is basically mass media, one-way broadcasting. Digital, the way I use it, means two-way.
Interactive.
Interactive. And you don't get interactive digital until, well, with the VCR, and then the computer a little bit in the 80s, and then the cell phones, and then all the stuff that exploded in the 90s. You did not have two-way computer environment in the 50s, 40s, and 60s.
Right.
For the public. I'm calling that phase analog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So digital means two-way. Now, that's not what a scientist, technician, means by digital. So you're right to bring up an objection to how the word is.
We had the telephone before we had computers, and we don't say that was digital.
That's right. And so the
two-way.
But it was
walkie-talkies, radar.
Yeah, and they were analog media, generally considered.
Mm-hmm.
Though maybe they were called digital. I don't think so.
Well, no, I'm just saying that they were interactive.
Well, this is the interesting thing about analog media. Remember, McLuhan said, from the telegraph on, is participatory. It the audience gets in the act. It's no longer mechanical, like newspapers and books. It is organic, he said, because it approximates speech because it's two-way.
Mm-hmm.
He said the telegraph was the beginning of two-way. The tele is interesting. Telegraph, telephone, and television. Radio was could be matched up with the phone and you have two-way, but generally it was one-way. But see, that's where McLuhan mixed the participatory nature of the TV image, where your brain had to fill in the low definition of the TV image. That was another level of participation or two-way interaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the term even two-way melts away if you get particular. But yeah, the two-way nature of the digital world was predicted or anticipated by the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking to Ted Carpenter. He said the Internet is just a replay of the telephone, which is not accurate. It's way more than the telephone, because the telephone is just verbal.
Right.
But he saw it that way, and you know, he was McLuhan's associate.
Yeah, and I can't just get on the telephone and get Google any information on the planet that I want.
Right. So you could say that digital, it defined as two-way, was already in previous analog media, and it was the effects preceding the causes. The beginning of the two-wayness was in the telephone. That would really get manifested when what I call the digital two-way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the bicycle in France in the late 1800s. The roads they created for bicycles became the roads that were paved for the automobile.
Mm-hmm.
So the bicycle was the effect preceding the cause. Can you follow that?
Yeah.
So you can track it back. As speech began, speech is digital. Actually, in McLuhan and Understanding Media, he talks about all languages can be condensed down to an 0 and 1, or digital. He talked about Leibniz saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it's either this or that. Pass the butter. That's the butter, and this isn't.
Right.
So you could say the digital goes way back to the first media. And that intertwining of the evolution of media on that broad level is what Finnegan's Wake is about.
Yeah.
That the past always is, like DNA, in the present media. But it's the interesting aspect of each, the isness of each medium and its characteristics as opposed to other media that creates a certain effect. That is what McLuhan looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And Thompson is coming out of the McLuhan world. He's a student of McLuhan's. Yet he is going in another direction. And we're looking at a quote that he made trying to lay out as a, quote, futurist about what was coming down the pike in the late 80s, early 90s. And it certainly isn't as prescient as a McLuhan statement. Though he is partly right, as he says at the end of the quote, such is the fantasy of one who came of age in the 60s, that's Clinton, and such is my fantasy of a new guy in former politics for the 90s. Definitely Gore and Clinton, with Gore emphasizing the green aspect, what's called the guppy, the green yuppie. Gore represented that because in 92 he was at the famous Eco Summit in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
He was a keynote speaker there. So the guy in form of politics as an image did manifest as Thompson dreamed, But because he is in the computer meme, computer being because he came out of that period, 67, 72, and used the inventory caused by the inventory report limits to growth, he has a visual bias, and he's still thinking in terms of visual political bureaucracies and is not picking up on the other multi-level media effects that are going and being holeopathized and shrunk and digitized and creating all kinds of new weird situations, so that by 92, the president is an image of abuse value for all the talk radio and cell phone people to make fun of. That's what he doesn't see, is the autonomy that's coming in with the cell phone world of the late 80s and early 90s.
Why does that cause the president to become an image for abuse value?
Because he represents centralized imagery, the old one-way analog media of Big Brother control or propaganda, but sneaking up on that Big Brother apparatus from the first half of the 20th century, or the analog phase, is computers, I mean personal computers, what do they call them, Walkmans,
yeah.
VCRs, answering machines, voicemail, all those things that allowed you to disconnect from the one-way rhythm of electronic analog media of the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, right?
Well,
everybody watching Ed Sullivan at one time and the only time. Now you can tape what you want.
Clinton rode the wave of the information superhighway.
What rode the wave?
Clinton rode the wave of the information superhighway. That's what he was talking about while he was in office. So I don't know how that makes him a medium for one-way communication abuse value.
You'll see. He, whatever, if Thompson got in.